Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. It begins, "Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.' Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been folded that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angel said to her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' She replied, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him.' As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabuni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, 'I've seen the Lord.' Then she told them what he said to her." Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, with this Easter message today, we ask that it guides our heart as resurrection people, as it lifts us up in hope and understanding that we are here for you and for the work that you give us through the resurrection. So may it comfort us and guide us in the week ahead and give us opportunity through your works in your kingdom. In your holy name we pray. Amen. There was a map that came out from National Geographic several years ago. It was a map of the history of the world, and it was a big map. The map showed how civilization was divided into two categories, and the dividing line, or what some call the hinge, was the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this. What are we to make of this? A few years after the resurrection, there were several thousand Christians living under Nero in the Roman Empire. During this time, it had been reported that Christians were regularly crucified or set on fire so that when darkness came, they burned like torches in the night. Now, 300 years later, there were roughly 34 million Christians. Christianity is now the world's largest faith. So let me ask you this. What are we to make of this? You see, Christianity didn't come into being through this massive onslaught. Rather, it began in obscurity. The first missionaries, they were commoners. Some viewed their message as nonsense, especially those who were sophisticated. And like most things, there were a few expectations or exceptions. The real appeal to Christianity attracted those who were outcasts, those who lived on the margins of society, people like Mary Magdalene, the small band of uneducated fishermen, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and yes, even the lepers. In other words, people who had no clout, people who had no money, the outcasts who from the very beginning were the ones who were persecuted. So let me ask you again, what are we to make of this? In the whole scheme of things, as of Friday, the sun set on Jesus' crucifixion. He was pulled down from the cross, and he was prepared for burial in a brand new tomb. And even with all this, what he taught the people, what he claimed, seemed to be a failure. His promises about this kingdom of God, yes, they were provocative, but at the same time, powerless rhetoric. And how many times did he mention this whole sacrifice thing, even resurrection? Well, his disciples obviously didn't understand it. Honestly, they never expected him to rise again. On that fateful night, when he was arrested, even Simon Peter crumbled to dust as he denied even knowing Jesus. And he did it three times, all because of a young girl asking him if he was a follower of the Christ. And after the resurrection occurred, on the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were huddled together, scared, in fear, with the doors locked. What are we to make of this? The truth is this. Without resurrection, we probably wouldn't be here today. I find it hard to even imagine that the Jesus movement would have even continued. Where would those locked in the room gotten the power? Where would they have gotten the nerve? And here we are 2,000 years later, joined together as brothers and sisters in Christ, declaring with faith, declaring with boldness that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is risen from the dead. Alleluia. Jesus lives. I'm guessing that many, if not all of us here this morning, we base our entire life on the resurrection. And it is an important piece of our discipleship journey. It is the reason we don't fear death. It is the reason we have put our whole trust in Jesus. It is the reason we have put our whole lives in Jesus. It is the reason that so many of our lives have been changed so radically. It is the reason they continue to change. Even as we deny ourselves each day and we take up our cross and follow Jesus, it is the reason that billions of people around the world, well, they're able to face this terrible, difficult life with courage, hope, faithfulness, and thanksgiving. It is one of the reasons we have hospitals, schools of higher education, and of course, a church on just about every corner. It was Christ's resurrection that made the Christian church. It was Christ's resurrection that transformed a huddle of dispirited and frightened people. It was Christ's resurrection that changed this valiant band of people who were willing to risk everything for the sake of Christ. It was Christ's resurrection that brought into being and set in motion this mighty gospel, which has been proclaimed to nearly the entire world and has changed the face of humanity. And the words of the New Testament, they leap for joy, first of all, most of all, and last of all, over the empty grave. Christmas. We mentioned Santa Claus earlier, right? Jesus' birth. We probably wouldn't celebrate it if it wasn't for his resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus the Christ is the hinge on which the doorway of history swings. And not just that, it is the doorway in which so many lives swing. What hinge does the doorway of your life swing on? What gives you hope and meaning? What makes this sometimes nearly unbearable life worth living? I always find it interesting that the story that we read today in the gospel is based around a woman. Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the risen Christ. But for Mary, probably more than any other person, Jesus was the hinge of her life. Jesus changed her world into something fierce. And Jesus did that because he treated her like a human rather than a piece of property. He treated her as a person of sacred worth, someone as important, as worthwhile as any other person. She was someone worth loving. And Mary loved Jesus right back. Here's what the gospel tells us today. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And I'm sure chaos erupted. So she runs back to Simon Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, exclaiming, "They have taken the Lord from my tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So they head back to the tomb. The disciple who Jesus loved gets to the tomb first because he was faster. He looks in and notices the linen cloth lying there, but he wasn't brave enough to go in. Then Simon Peter enters the tomb and notices the same thing. Scripture tells us that they didn't yet understand that Jesus must rise from the dead. But after that, the two disciples left. They went back to their homes, but Mary, she stayed back, sitting outside the tomb crying. I wonder how many of us here today have done just that, have found ourselves standing outside the tomb of our lives crying, maybe feeling alone, maybe feeling betrayed by the world, all with the sense of no hope. But here's the thing. As Mary wept, she peeped her head inside the tomb for another look. She probably asked herself, could this really be happening? Could things really be this bad? Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever felt as things were so bad that you had to take another look just in case? And it was then that Mary saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. And the angels asked her why she was crying. She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she sensed that someone was behind her. So Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And as soon as Jesus called her name, she knew that it was him. Friends, this is Easter. It proves that Jesus' words and promises, they weren't like throwing a coin into the wishing well. Today, good has triumphed over evil. Jesus really is God, and Jesus is God of, is a God of love, of peace, of understanding and forgiveness, and it shows that God will never, ever leave us alone, and God will never forsake us. What are we to make of this? In all the chaos, in all the confusion, there is purpose. And that purpose is showing each one of us here today that there is sanity amidst the turmoil. And it shows us that we are never alone. Because when we peep into that tomb, there is hope. When we turn around, there is hope. When we have doubt, there is hope. And that hope is for each one of us, no matter who you are, no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what we look like, feel like, no matter how much money you make, no matter, do not despair. That is what the resurrection has done. It has changed the past, the present, and it will continue on into the future. Because today, the tomb where Jesus laid, it was empty, and it is empty. By the way, after Mary saw the resurrected Lord, she ran to the disciples and said this, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." And from that moment, the world has never been the same. Millions and millions of lives have been changed. What are we to make of this? Maybe I should ask this instead tonight. What are we going to do about it? Amen.